Morning, boys. Any prayer requests? Things to be thankful for?
Well, a nice well every day.
Also thank the Lord for Floyd and Jessica's safe travel. We'll pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, beautiful weather. Help us to remember why we're here, for the blessings every day, also for Floyd and Jessica's safe travels. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess it's Proverbs 25. These are the miscellaneous instructions of Solomon, which the friends of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, wrote out. The glory of God hides a word, and the glory of a king honors deeds. Heaven is high, and earth is deep, but the heart of the king is incapable of disproof. Beat drossy silver, and it will be made entirely clean. Slay the ungodly before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Do not brag on yourself in the presence of a king, neither stand in the place of princes. For it is better that it be said to you, come up to me, than for you to be humbled in the presence of a prince. Speak the things your eyes see. Do not enter into a quarrel quickly, that you may not be sorry in the end. When your friend reproaches you, retreat and do not despise him, lest your friend continue to reproach you. And your quarrel and enmity shall not depart, but be quarrel to death for you. Grace and friendship free a man. Keep these for yourself that you may not be reproached. But guard your ways peaceably. As a golden apple in a small necklace of sardius stone, thus it is to speak a wise word. As very expensive sardius stone set in a golden earring, so is the wise word of an obedient ear. As the falling of snow in harvest is beneficial against the heat, so is the faithful messenger to those who send him. For he benefits the souls of those who use him. As winds, clouds, and rains are evident, so are those who boast in a false gift. There is prosperity for kings and patience. A mild tongue breaks bones. When you find honey, eat what is sufficient, lest being filled you should vomit it up. Seldom visit your own friend's house, lest he become fed up with your company and hate you. As a club, a sword, and a pointed arrow, so also is the man who testifies a false witness against his friend. The tooth of an evil man and the foot of a lawless man shall perish in an evil day. As vinegar is bad for a festering wound, so calamity befalling the body grieves the heart. As a moth in a garment and a worm in wood, so is the grief of a man. So the grief of a man damages the heart. If your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing this, he shall heap coals of fire on his head. And the Lord will reward you with good things. The north wind stir up clouds, and a shameless face provokes the tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in the house shared with an abusive woman. As cold water is agreeable to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far-off land. As if someone would stop a spring and corrupt an outlet of water, so it is unseemly for a righteous man to fall before the ungodly. It is not good to eat too much honey, but it is necessary to honor words held in honor. As an unfortified city whose walls are broken down, so is a man who does something without counsel. There's a lot of stuff in here, obviously, to make a lot of sermons off of. But I kind of made an outline. I've got a 4 and 5. Beat drowsy silver and it will be made entirely clean. Slay the ungodly before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteous. And basically, what that means to me is that get rid of the bad in your life. Yeah, just like they used to do before a king, slay anyone that didn't obey him or anyone that was bad. So we should also do that the same way with our sin, get it out of our lives. And then I wrote 6 and 6 to 7 and 8. It's just telling you to not elevate yourself higher than you are. Let other people bring you up. And then, let's see. I've got also number 12. Grace and friendship free a man. Keep these for yourself that you may not be reproached. I think that kind of ties into... let's see. No, that's not the one. Number 15. As falling of snow in the harvest is beneficial against the heat, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he benefits the souls of those who use him. As winds, clouds, and rains are evident, so are those who boast. Okay. Number 15 that I read at the beginning kind of ties into 28 and 29. As cold water is agreeable to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far-off land. As if someone would stop a spring of corrupt and corrupt an outlet of water, so it is unseemly for a righteous man to fall before the ungodly. What these verses mean to me is that there's, no matter who you are, there's always people looking up to you. And if you do something wrong, or if you get pulled down by sin or get corrupted, you're going to affect a lot more people than yourself. So it's not all about you. And that's about all I had. There's a lot more in here that I haven't mentioned. So, Lord bless you,
and say your memory work.
We were supposed to think of a person that stayed around the wise people, and Solomon chose to obey the counsel of the wise, and he became the wisest man and the wisest king ever before or after.
I'm going to say lunch with Paul for a while, and you're kind of warm.
Paul surrounded himself with wise men like Barnabas, and then he was one of Jesus' disciples later on.
Because Sam was just the same thing, because he had the words of eternal life.
In 2 Chronicles, it talks about where Joash was staying with the priest, Jehoiakim, and he learned a lot from him over the 6 years he stayed. And he got wise, and then he, at 7 years old, he became the king. And so, yeah. And it says in here, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord for all his days. And so he learned a lot from Jehoiakim.
I got a verse out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals." And if you surround yourself with bad friends, then it'll corrupt the good that you have. But if you surround yourself with good people, then it'll make better the good stuff that you have and make you a better person.
In 4 Kingdoms chapter 4, there's the poor widow, and she can't pay her debts. And so the creditor is going to take away her children or her two sons. And so she asks she asks Elisha what she should do, and he tells her what to do, and she listens to him, and so she doesn't have to give away her sons.
When Samuel was a little boy, he went to live with priest Eli, and he learned good things, and he learned wisdom from him. Then, when he got a little older, God talked to him.
Thought about Jesus when he was a little boy, when his parents was going to pay taxes at the tabernacle or whatever. He stayed at the temple and listened to the priest and became wise, listening to the priest.
In the book of Job, after Job had talked and each of his friends had said that what they thought, then finally Job talked again and his friends were just quiet because they saw that he was righteous. And so then finally Elihu, the youngest one, he started talking and saying what he thought, and it was good that he waited till the others had talked, but then he talked against them, and he probably just should have kept quiet.
In the book, The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8, he said that the author said that he sought wisdom from his youth, and he became wise.
In the book of Jasher, that had to look in the book of Jasher, where Abram went and lived with Noah and his son Shem, and he stayed. So book of Jasher, chapter 9, and when Abram came out of the cave, he went to Noah and his son Shem, and he remained with them to learn the instruction of the Lord and his ways. And no man knew where Abram was, and Abram served Noah and Shem his son for a long time. And Abram was in Noah's house 39 years. And Abram knew the Lord from 3 years old, and he went in the ways of the Lord until the day of his death, as Noah and his son Shem taught him. And then, later in the chapter, verses 10 through 12. And there was not a man found in the days in the whole earth who knew the Lord, for they served each man his own God, except Noah and his household, and all those who were under his counsel knew the Lord in those days. And Abram, the son of Terah, was waxing great in those days in the house of Noah, and no man knew it, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord gave Abram an understanding heart, and he knew all the works of that generation were vain, and that their gods were vain and were of no avail. So Abram stayed with Noah and Shem and gained wisdom. It's almost like there was more than just Abram with him.
That David, he was by himself most of his childhood. He was a shepherd for his father's sheep. He didn't necessarily run a bunch of people, but he bettered himself by playing his harp and singing praises to God. And, like, when the lion and the bear came out and took sheep, he could say, well, I just want sheep. I mean, it'll be all right, just one sheep. But no, he wouldn't risk himself to save that sheep. Because if he didn't, he would probably wouldn't. Yeah, when it came back, so I got just one more. Never would school, just took it.
Hang on a second. Help me with these thoughts, because these are kind of paradoxical, and I'm not sure I understand them all, but I was meditating on this thought, and I was just thinking, well, how do we become great, you know? And I thought about the paradoxical things that Jesus taught about greatness to his disciples, and how he told his disciples that we are to become like little children, you know, if we're to inherit the kingdom. And the kingdom is made up of children. And I just thought, well, children are unruly, and, you know, how does that reconcile with becoming great? They're unruly and they need to be trained. But I talked to David about it, and he said that children are they're just a joy to be around. People love them, and you take them into a nursing home, like baby David, you take them in there, and the old people just love to see them because they're just so joyful, and they're not concerned about what's coming up next, or, you know. And then I thought also about the needy people around the world and how they are the body of Christ, you know, because Jesus said about, and I don't know where this scripture is, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. And Christ recognizes his body and the poor around the world, you know, it's the needy. And I thought about how, well, if they're the body of Christ, and we are to help them and tend to their needs, well, if we associate with them and help them, then we're associating with Christ, and we're great. And so then I thought, well, who? Because I'm not really versed in the people in the Bible and such, but I thought, well, who would fall into this category that I could bring as an example that associated with the poor and with the needy and became great and God recognized? I thought, well, Cornelius, you know, because to Cornelius, God sent Peter, who revealed basically the gospel to him, because he was already helping the needy and praying and whatever. And I also thought about Christ, how he came to this earth. He came to help us, because we all have needs, you know. And if we recognize that other people have needs, we'll start realizing that we have the same needs. And that's how we all become one. And like I said, I don't understand all this. I'm just saying these are some thoughts I was having concerning this. I hope they can be a blessing.